Okay, firstly, I want to say I'm very honored for you taking your time to have this conversation. I know that time right now is essential for everyone. Everyone's busy and has a lot of things going on. And we had met briefly at ceremony like 2 years ago. Your son brought it up. And I had reached out to him actually because I was interested in purchasing a book of yours. And I was trying to buy it through the website and I couldn't, so I reached out to him and he remembered me from ceremony. So very honored that you're here sharing time with us, Mr. Juan Mancias.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
And what book were you trying to get?
You had two. You have a poetry book and then you have a history book.
Well, it's stuff that I wrote over the years.
Yeah.
Kind of journal.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's called, So your grandma's an Indian and you don't like controversy, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I am very interested in history, accurate history. And I think especially now there's like an emergence of a lot of like writers that are writing from their perspective and their history. And so when I saw that it was available, like I wanted to read it. So, yeah.
Well, hopefully I'll be able to. Did you ever get the book, by the way?
I have not, because he has forgotten like several times.
Okay, well, I've got some. I'll
yeah,
get it for you.
For sure.
I was just in Laredo for the unveiling of the mural by Tony Briones, mm-hmm, down on Plum Street, and it's funny because I don't think anybody really realized just how historical that place is, not just because it's the streets of Laredo, the song, you know, but the fact that it also has a connection to the Carrizo people, the Carrizo Comecrudos. And right there's a historical marker that I was asking everybody that was there if they'd ever seen it. None of them have ever seen it. But it's between the hotel La Posada, mm-hmm, and the museum that's right next to it. And it's funny that they had never seen it because it talks about the Battle of the Republic, the Republic of the Rio Grande, and how Antonio Zapata, who was our Zapata, was beheaded, and talks about what happened there and stuff. And with the battle, at the Battle of Mir, it's called the Battle of Mir. Mm-hmm. And so I find it rather funny how people go on with their daily lives and the history is right there all the time, but they don't recognize it, you know. And that's part of the importance of what's going on here. So there's always these kind of assumptive historical data that's put out all the time that romanticizes who and what we are. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people get caught up in that romanticization, and it's hard for me to see what's going on with a lot of that. But, you know, knowing that, you know, over the years we've been trying to do is just to educate the public. And now we have an opportunity to do that through, you know, some of these podcasts and some of the other things that we do, that like going out and talking to the children and being with the children, mm-hmm, and actually immersing the people into our culture. Not in other words, forcing them to come into a person. That's one of the problems that we've had. It's like the whole thing with assimilation and acculturation. Mm-hmm. Those are soft words for what really happened to the genocide in this country. When you're brainwashed and you're forced and your feet are cut and your hands are cut, people are being decapitated, like what happened to Antonio Zapata. That's not assimilation. And that's not acculturation. Mm-hmm. That's being forced to do that by intimidation and by coercion. And so I think that a lot of time there's a difference between how we even see sociology and how sociology sees, you know, the concept of secularism, where they absolve themselves from any wrongdoing. Even the confusion mm-hmm. is an absolution. And we see that a lot with a lot of the groups that are coming out of the woodwork now. It's an absolution, like, it's okay for me to be confused, or, you know, forgive me for my confusion. Mm-hmm. So I can do whatever I want, but I don't want to have to listen to the teachings of the land, mm-hmm. or they have no connection to the history or to the land, and what's happening, you know, like, Garcia Pastor. I get a lot of that from some of the actors. What is Garcia Pastor? What's going on with Garcia Pastor? Well, Garcia Pastor is a 32-village site down in Cameron County where they're trying to build an LNG on top of it. And nobody wants to, you know, really get involved in it. But you know, there's a fight there, and we've been fighting it for several years now, and we've been able to continue to stop the investors from coming in and creating problems, you know, with what's going on with the LNGs there. And now we've got the Grand LNG asking for a third permit, you know, to come in and do this. And again, because they don't do their, what they call EASs, their environmental assessment, and their EISs, their environmental impact studies. And then, of course, now we have Elon Musk, you know, building, you know, a rocket pad and everything. He says, well, this is for the goodness of science. And I'm going like, well, if it's for the goodness of science and he can create an artificial atmosphere in Mars, why doesn't he fix the one here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of the things. And so I demand an EIS from Elon Musk as well, Mars. I told him, I'll tell him that I'm the imperial wizard of Mars, and he's the great explorer invader of another planet. I demanded EIS. And this is, you know, just how sickly some, and it's all connected.
Mm-hmm.
Even what happened, you know, a few weeks ago in Uvalde, where they're talking about mental illness, you mm-hmm. know, and these guys are mentally ill. Anybody that's insecure and demands to leave this planet to go to another planet, mm-hmm. you know, that's a little way out there, you know, so it's a little crazy. It's not that it's not impossible, but it's that you're nuts, you know, because of the well-being thing, you know. It's like insecurity. It's like homeland insecurity. All these people that want to put up a wall. Mm-hmm. What if they want to put, why are they so insecure here about on this side, on the mm-hmm. southern border? Why aren't they doing the same thing in the northern border? They're so insecure. So there's a sickness involved here, and they're mentally ill. And I suggest that they take their guns away from them because they're mentally ill. You know, that was one of the, mm-hmm. it's a satirical ideal of looking at how these guys think. And we accept it. Mm-hmm. We look at these people as, never question their motives. We just think that they're right about things, you know. So what if John F. Kennedy wanted to go to the moon by 1969? Who cares? You know, what did that achieve? You know, they're fighting things and getting money out of it, and the rest of the society, the rest of the people are still starving, still mm-hmm. without homes, can't afford a car. There's people that can't go anywhere because they can't afford a vehicle,
mm-hmm.
and they're not making anything affordable. They're not, I mean, how many of the elders that we know need to get some dental work, and they can't even get a dental? But you look at Biden, he's got his dentures, and they're fixed up and everything. Because he's got to look good and sell himself to the public. But what about the public? What's happening to him? Where's the health care?
You know? Yeah, where is the care for the people? If these politicians say they're for the people, or these people that we look up to, because I know that people have referred to Elon Musk like as someone they look up to because he has so much wealth. But it's like, I feel there's a responsibility when you have that much wealth. Like, what are you using that wealth for? And definitely seems like it's a continuation of colonization. You know what I mean? It's okay, so now this planet is exploited, you know, and all of us, it's up to all of us who don't have enough resources to kind of put together what was, I guess the best word could use is there was a lot of violence that happened here, you know?
Well, there's, that's part of this country's buildup. They don't have value systems. They have ideals. And those ideals, like the American dream, is an ideal. It's mm-hmm. not a, it's a value system. Like if you work hard, you know, mm-hmm. that's an ideal. Mm-hmm. It's not a value system. Value system talks about how we treat one another, mm-hmm. you know, and when it's all about me, the individualistic mentality, it's about, you know, how great I am and look at what I'm doing. I'm trying to save the whole world, you know, mentality, that Messiah complex mentality. Mm-hmm. It creates a problem for everybody involved, because then you're looking for some kind of salvation, and the reality is that we're from this planet and we were put in this planet for a reason, you know. Mm-hmm. There's no other planet that we know of that has the consistency of the same amount of oxygen and everything. You got to go create an artificial mm-hmm. atmosphere, and look what they've done to this one already. The oil, the fossil fuels, mm-hmm. and they continue to do it. There's another pipeline that they're trying to send down through, down to Corpus. It's called the Matterhorn. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine calling it the Matterhorn, and coming down from Pecos all the way into Houston? More of that stuff, and people don't even recognize the fact that nobody wants to fight that thing. And that the water supply is being depleted out of New Mexico so they can do their fracking in the Permian Basin. So you go down to the Big Bend area, you go through those areas, all the big rivers are starting to dry up. All the creeks are dried already. And now they're talking about desalination plants. And they're talking about, you know, what they call green energy and mm-hmm. the carbon sequestration, which carbon capturing, and they want to run it back up the river now, so people can have more carbon dioxide around them. They just stop what they're doing and reconsider the fact is, but the problem is that their standards are all about money. Mm-hmm. Their standards is all about them absolving themselves from any wrongdoing. People have died in these explosions. We just had one not too long ago here, just a couple of days ago, and still, you know, nobody's doing anything about it. They just kind of slap them on the hands and let them go their ways, like, you know. But they're criminals. Mm-hmm. They kill people, and they're killing people, you know, without recognizing the fact that they're doing that. Like down in Louisiana where Cancer Alley been called there. Cancer Alley is right there next to the mouth of one of the Mississippi, mm-hmm. and it's awful. People, unless you see it, you never make a connection with it. And I remember watching the Civil Rights Movement and realizing it was so far away because on black and white TV, and I never realized that it was just three states down, you know, when mm-hmm. you're young. And a lot of it is because of what's happening. But when it happens in your back door, like this happened in Uvalde, should have never happened. Mm-hmm. But Abbott is slow at understanding, and they're part of the mental illness that occurs there is when they want to continue the status quo, and the status quo has been a status quo of murder, rape, and everything else, and this is what they're teaching the kids in school. I mean, we don't have a standardized system that teaches good values, and that's why I keep bringing up the idea that we need to immerse ourselves in the culture, mm-hmm. Our cultures, because it calls for, you know, being a relative, mm-hmm. even with those people that not even are your color, you know, they're still your relative, but the people also take advantage of that because they think they can appropriate everything right away. You become a relative. Mm-hmm. They don't realize that there's a rite of passages that you have to go through. Mm-hmm. Those rites of passage are important. And until you meet them through life, you probably can't understand exactly what's going on. So in the way I was taught, I was taught that there was an understanding and there was not an, and there was no understanding and an understanding. The understanding was about life. Everything is moving all the time. It never stops. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why we have the seasons. Everything changes. Mm-hmm. And people don't recognize that, you know. We try to make people aware of the solstice and the quarter markers and all the things that are happening. But when they don't even let you go to the beach where your creation story starts, you know, at Boca Chica down at the Rio Grande, mm-hmm. You know, just to offering. And they close the road down and they say, well, we can't let you through because Elon Musk is testing. And what gives him the right, you know? Mm-hmm. Whose standards do we follow? Do we follow the standards of money or do we follow the standards of being a human being? And respecting and staying connected and remembering who we are.
Yeah, and yeah. If I may add, mm-hmm. back to, you know, reconnecting and reconnecting in an appropriate way, I do feel like there is a need from a lot of young people looking for guidance. Mm-hmm. And because they don't know where to look for guidance, other times they look for it on the internet. And the internet may not be the most accurate place depending on who's on there, right? So that's why I'm very grateful that you're here speaking to us, sharing this wisdom and knowledge, because a lot of people want to learn, and even people that formerly didn't see themselves as Indigenous, you know, but they've had a reconnection process that started because of something. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's definitely that, like, need. And, I, you know, from my own personal experience, I know that mine started because I was going through something really heavy in my life, and I grew up, unfortunately, I grew up Christian, but I never agreed with the Christian ideals. Like, nothing ever clicked for me. Like, it always felt uncomfortable and restrictive, and as soon as I started, like, learning more about history in college, I just started having a different perspective about things, but I could never, like, get accurate information. Like, even with professors, a lot of the times they didn't have the information available. Because mm-hmm. I remember I asked my professor at the time, he taught a women's studies course, and he taught a lot about Indigenous history. I said, do you know about the Carrizo Comecrudo tribe in Texas? He was like, no, I was not aware. And I'm like, how are you not aware? You're a history professor. You're a college history professor, you know? So there definitely is that need among a lot of people. And I think a lot of elders want to give that wisdom, and I think a lot of people are ready to receive it too. But I think there has to be, like you said, a rite of passage, do it in a respectful way. And then for also the people that may have a disconnect with their own culture, I do see probably appropriation going on with other people, which is frustrating, because a lot of the times for Indigenous people, like you said, we can't even practice our own culture, and mm-hmm. then we have people from the outside appropriating the have. So I'm really glad you brought up all those points.
Well, one of the reasons I say it is because when they start waiving laws, mm-hmm. especially to build a wall, mm-hmm. You know, they waived the Native American Grace Protection Repatriation Act, and they waived the American Indian Religious Freedom Act of 1968. So there's 26 other laws that they waived: clean water, clean drinking water, the Historical Preservation Act. I mean, you name it. They find things to waive to make it more appropriate for them to do what they wanted to do again, mm-hmm. in the sense of absolving themselves from doing any wrongdoing, mm-hmm. And looking at, and they couldn't. It was like with the WMDs, you know, the weapons of mass destruction. With Bush, mm-hmm. They said it, and then they went and started doing stuff, and then they didn't find anything. So here, we were there at Eli Jackson for 19 months. We occupied that land, mm-hmm. and I mean, that's just who I am. I'm at a point in where we have to recognize the fact that if we're going to take a stand, we can't just get up and leave when they tell us to. regardless of what they want to do to us. I mean, they have to be responsible for their actions, and they're not being responsible. They're being unaccountable for them. And because, of course, every government says that I am null and void for any kind of lawsuits. And that's what makes them what they call secularism. That's what secularism is. Mm-hmm. It absolves them from being from doing anything wrong. So if we continue this road in subsidizing the standards that they do with taxation, you know, then we're just allowing it to happen, and we're actually saying it's okay. You know, the country doesn't do anything wrong. Well, this country's done a lot of wrong. Mm-hmm. It's founded on murder. It's founded on genocide. It's founded on rape. It's founded on all of those things. And in the long term, we have to also recognize that because of those, of their wrongdoing, they've created a byproduct among even our own people, you know, to where we have the high cost of domestic violence. When you make people believe in the self-fulfilling prophecy of, well, you're just a drunk Indian, you know, or you're just a borracho, you know, you mm-hmm. know, you all you can do is be a mechanic, all you can do is be a welder, all you can do is be a carpenter. You know, we have to overcome that mentality. We have a lot of people who are very well educated, who have a brain and have the ability to overcome what has happened over the years here. The battlegrounds have changed, the courthouses and the places where we have to go and fight them now is with lawsuits and mm-hmm. and with those things, because we have an advantage. We know their way. They don't know our way. They're still afraid of our way. Mm-hmm. And not that being brought up Christian is bad. It's how you're brought, who's bringing you up as a Christian, when making judgments toward the original people of the land, because that comes under the doctrine of discovery, which is another thing that absorbs them from any wrongdoing. Well, if they don't believe in our God, kill them. Mm-hmm. And that's right there in the doctrine of discovery. Mm-hmm. So those things we have to look at as historical facts that have made us the social beings that we are today as Native people, that we even turn on ourselves. And we have to be aware that we can't continue to do that without understanding what the teachings are. And I always said, I know where my ancestors are buried. I said, I didn't leave them across the ocean, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's important to understand. But that goes for all of us. Mm-hmm. We have to know where our ancestors are buried. Mm-hmm. And if we don't know, then we have a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't assume, like many books have done before, that we don't exist. We can't accept that. Mm-hmm. Because if we do, then we're just buying into the fact that we don't know anything about ourselves. So that's why history is such an important part of what's going on. To me, it's I think it's, you know, like we found out that we like three porciones under the Mancia's name, which is like almost 300,000 acres mm-hmm. In the valley. And mm-hmm. Those are treaties with us that were broken by, of course,
the government.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, well, it was people that just came in and stole the land. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's how can you make laws on stolen land, you know, if you don't even understand who the people that are there, who they are, and then you want to identify with something else, and you probably don't even fit into that criteria. And that's romanticizing the culture, and that's, you know, appropriating the culture, and that's where I see it. I try not to be too ugly about it, because I'm not gonna be ugly to any of our people. But I just wish they would listen and understand that there are teachings that come with everything. Mm-hmm. And like, for instance, the paintings at Seminole Canyon, mm-hmm. the paintings at Paint Rock, the paintings over they're all connected. They all have a signature. And that signature is, if you speak that language, you'll understand what it is. Mm-hmm. And so, and that's important. But when you try to qualify the statements of the so-called authorities for a long time, and you don't question the assumption decisions that are made. Mm-hmm. You know, how can they assume that we don't exist? We're still here. Mm-hmm. People are doing their DNA right now and coming up with anywhere from 30 to 50% in Native American from one area. Mm-hmm. And that's down in the valley, mm-hmm. you know. And, of course, the bigger areas is where we come from, too, as well. So I think that, what we need to probably look at this is that we have to continue to not be afraid to overstep those boundaries that they've set for us. Like, that border wall is not even at the border, okay? Mm-hmm. Because the border's right in the middle of the river. Mm-hmm. So it's like a mile and somewhere 3 miles away. So why are they doing that? That's because they wanna use that land behind it with the same waiver of laws as they did before. That means that you can run a pipeline through there. You can go in there and shoot anybody you want to, and you'll be absolved from it. You don't. It's not a sin, you know, to kill a person of color in that area. Mm-hmm. So again, you know, that makes it kind of intimidating for other Native people to go into that area, you know. But yeah. but the way we're voting in Texas, people of color and people, and I'm bringing up voting, mm-hmm. and people of color and especially Native people. We had 29,000 registered voters back in 2014 here. Maybe there's more now, mm-hmm. but how they're voting is. You know, it's not pro-Native. It's not pro-Earth. It's more pro-me. Mm-hmm. What am I going to get out of it? So.
Like individualistic. Yeah. Would you say that that's an after effect of assimilation or like lack of education, like understanding the whole issues?
There's two value systems. There's actually one value system. The other one is a supposedly one that's based on ideals. Mm-hmm. The value system that we have is about the group emphasis, about working together. And the urban industrial system talks about individualism. It's about me. What am I going to get out of it? How am I going to get rich? You know, how much money am I going to get? And then, of course, you have the other things like education is not the same thing in our way. Ours is about... You know, how are the children going to be raised in the teachings? Not you know, reading, writing, and arithmetic. I sent my kids to school to learn reading, writing, and arithmetic. They went to a Catholic school for a while, mm-hmm. and so did I. And but they were pushing the value systems, you know, mm-hmm. their value systems. And we know that there's not a value system that really exists for that ideal of Christianity. Because if there was, there wouldn't be such division, even in Christianity, you know, mm-hmm. where you have the Baptists, Southern Baptists, mm-hmm. Northern Baptists, you have Presbyterians, you have this guy, Episcopalian, Catholic. You know, that wouldn't be happening. It mm-hmm. would, they would understand, and they would really believe in the one thing that they talk about. For us, it's like we understand that there's a creation, there's a whole, and we have to learn to live. That's the survival part of it. The rest of it is just, you know, it's an ideal. I had a dream. My dream is more important than your dream. Mm-hmm. Even in our way of going out and seeking a vision, you know, we say, how do I connect my vision to everything that's around, mm-hmm. around us? You mm-hmm. know? Instead of saying, yeah, my vision. This is my vision. I'm going to make sure my vision is more important than anybody else's. Mm-hmm. That's not the way it works because everybody's got a vision. How do we connect them? How do we make them one? And that's what's important here with it when it comes to looking at value systems and ideals. So,
yeah, definitely. I definitely think when the pandemic started, I had a lot of these conversations with my dad about how I felt a lot of Americans were very individualistic because I saw a lot of posts about people traveling to Mexico. Because they felt like too isolated when the pandemic started. And I'm like, you know, people over there, there's a lot of poverty there. And I just felt it wasn't the right time to go travel. Like it was too soon. And he kind of brought up the same point. He said, you know, Americans are very individualistic. It's a very different system. Like they just think me. And he's definitely raised me and my sisters. Kind of see like the whole worldview. And I think definitely, because I was born in Mexico, raised in San Antonio, but born in Mexico. I definitely didn't start noticing it more until I grew older, I guess. Because I just figured everyone's like my family. Like my family, see someone, invites them over to eat. You know, we all eat. My family like is very giving, but not a lot of people are like that. And definitely, I can see like the correlations that you're bringing up. In fact, like in patterns in my own family. So.
See, that's important. It's because we have to look at the fact that a lot of times we have been brainwashed.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you? And that's what colonization really is. It's brainwashing you.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we break away from it? We're fortunate enough to know that we have a connection to this land. You know. How do we stay maintained to the land? How do we understand the land? Where are those power places of land? We can't continue to say, I have the power. That's a standard of colonialism or, you know,
mm-hmm.
brainwashing. Because you believe that you're an empath or you're manifesting things or that you have a right to be a chief or a medicine person. Whatever, a healer, or whatever. If that's true, then we should be able to do it for our own people, you know,
mm-hmm.
and to try and get to that one place where the healing needs to. I hear that a lot,
mm-hmm.
where people saying, "Well, we need to heal."
Mm-hmm.
How do you heal when we don't? When we all want to be healers,
mm-hmm.
you know? How do you heal how do you lead when everybody wants to be a chief, you know?
Mm-hmm.
How do you recognize the group emphasis without becoming an occult? How mm-hmm. do you understand what tribe is? You know, and that's a poor word for, you know, trying to do it because tribe is what they looked at as a bunch of gorillas, and that's what they call a group of gorillas is a tribe. But we were a human people. We were a nation.
Mm-hmm.
We're a group to be dealt with in the sense of being sovereign, and we have a special connection to the earth, and that's what we want to do, and maintain that connection by trying to make people resolve themselves from the genocide.
Mm-hmm. And I definitely have seen that trend of people, like. Wanting to be like healers or empaths or calling themselves like healers, shamans, empaths, which can be like a dangerous narrative because, like you said, it can lead to like cult mentality. You don't know where they're getting the teachings from. But I also see a lot of like elders online like sharing more information too about like be wary of that or trying to fall into that. And honestly, everyone's journey is very different, you know? Everybody wants to be, like, the top, and it's not always like that. We all have different gifts, right? And so when you work as a team and for the people, I don't feel like that should be the priority of, like, wanting to be at the top, like, as a leader. Like, you have to go through some heavy major growth to even be worthy to be called a leader, I feel. But, yeah, I've seen the spirituality trend a lot. Specifically, because I use more of the app TikTok, I've seen it a lot.
Well, I did a documentary not too long ago, and it's called The Teaching of the Hand.
Mm-hmm.
And The Teaching of the Hand teaches us, you know, that connection to who we are. So if you were to look at your hand, and you count each section in your hand, you have 14 on each hand. Mm-hmm. So it's 14. And how many days in a moon cycle?
I'm not sure.
28 days. 28 days. And how many days how many directions are there?
Four, right?
There's four cardinal points,
yeah.
But each one of them has seven.
Oh, okay.
So seven times four, 28.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take those 28 little joints in your finger, multiply them by the 13 major joints in your body, you come up with 364.
Mm-hmm.
How many days in a year?
365.
That's a Roman calendar.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And the thing is that we look at those things as part of trying to understand our teachings because each one of them tells you how to live each day. But then, not only that, You can count the winter solstice, the summer, the spring equinox, summer solstice, and the fall equinox. And then on the other hand, you have the February 2nd, which is a quarter marker. You have May 4th, which is a quarter marker. You have August 5th, which is a quarter marker. And then you have November 2nd, which is a quarter marker. Those are special days. Everything that's about us is a calendar. It's about how do we live each day and not how they tell us to live each day. Because then what we're doing is emphasizing and promoting the individualism. You see what I'm saying? But as a group, we understand there's a connection to this land and to everything around us. It's not everything was they call archaeoastronomical. It wasn't. All of it was about trying to tell people about what's happening with us every day, you know. And when you see the handprints here in Texas, it doesn't mean that that's your signature. That meant how many days you were at that place. So here's 14 days right here. I was here 14 days. Okay, I was there a month. And if you look at it, there's not a bunch of hands on there. It talks about how many days I was at that place. And that's what's important when we start looking at understanding teachings. Because if people don't know those teachings and they don't know what each one of those are, watch after we've been talking about this. Watch, everybody's going to come up with teachings for each one of those things. But they don't understand what they really mean because they change with each season, you know, and each quarter marker. You have to know how to live with the climate. And see, now changing the climate is making it difficult. But we still haven't changed the way of the teachings. The climate will change because I mean, with all the flaring that's going on, the fracking, and everything that they're doing, it's ridiculous. And we're allowing it to happen because, oh, there's money. I got to make money. I got to have a car. I got to have. And we're talking about people already struggling without houses, without places to stay. But we can learn to live as a group. I grew up with all of us all around in one area. Some of us lived in the same house, you know. And that was part of, you know, being who we were. And understanding these teachings and my grandma taking care of us. I can see that. I can hear that. When she would sit there, put us to take a nap in the afternoon or, you know, give us that afternoon snack and, you know, or put us to sleep at night, you know, her singing. I, for me, for one, I find that we don't do that anymore. The grandmas and the grandpas, all they want to do now is just go out and party. You know what I mean?
Modern grandpa and grandpas.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, because there's definitely wisdom with, you know, the, I guess, even the customs and even like on my half, I say like remedios, like my abuelita had remedios that unfortunately got lost and didn't get passed down because
They're not lost. They're still around.
they're still around.
Yeah.
Okay, they're still around. But as someone that likes to write everything down, I was a little disappointed that I wasn't able to document that, you know? But yeah, there's definitely a lot of complexities in that. And I didn't know what you told me. Thank you so much. I feel like I'm learning so much through these conversations because I had no idea about that. So I do appreciate you sharing
Well,
that.
there's a lot of things that we need to understand to be able to go and be able to do the things that, I mean, I never thought that I'd be in this kind of a position in my life, you know. But the thing is, the fact that somebody's got to say it, somebody's got to do it, and it's not about spirituality, because my spirituality lies in the tears, in the blood, the pain and the anguish that my people have gone through. That's where my spirituality lies, because I see it. I can go somewhere. I can see where how my people struggled just to walk from one place to the next, which would take them maybe 2 or 3 days to the next village, which is maybe 8 or 10 miles down in the Rio Grande, Sandia Puebla, Loma Sandia, right up here in Three Rivers. That was almost a week's walk, you know. That's before horses came in. I'm not saying there were no horses here. There were horses, but we ate,
Oh, okay.
So we all, I mean, but the horse came in later, and that made it easier to go around. We became very dependent on what they brought from Europe. We didn't have cast irons. We used to cook in the paunches of, and carry three rocks on our side, and then warm up the rocks and cook our food with those hot rocks inside the paunches, the stomachs of a buffalo or a deer. That's how we ate, and that's how we cooked our food. And that people don't tell you that. That's why you see these guys walking around with a paunch, and these little rocks with them, because that's how we warmed up our food, but or cooked it. And we didn't have the big fires that we used to have. That's why we cooked in the pits. You know, that's why we you find the what they call BRMs, the burnt ruin mediums, around here. So you start connecting the dots where all of these archaeological sites are at, and you start recognizing that there's a message in there about how far we would go and how far our people would travel. But now you buy into the segmentation of tribal living in this land, and you end up with this, well, I'm this and you're that, this and that, and this is our territories. And you're going like, no, we were migratory. All of that is our territory. We came in there, and we asked you if you wanted to stay. That was fine. You know, it was okay with us as long as you were a human being. And but people don't understand that, because they all of a sudden they come back with that ego. The very first thing on each morning that I see this is your weakest thing in your body. This little pinky. This one's even
Pinky.
stronger than this one,
Okay.
but this one is your weakest one. So this one right here, the first little section tells you to be humble. And teaches you humility. And to say, I wake up in the morning and say, okay, here I am. I woke up this morning. Let it be about my people, not about me. You see? And I think that's what I've always been about, is that's how I grew up. And this one right here is about respect. You know, respect the people. If you're gonna be that humble, at least respect them. And we haven't taught our kids. Look what kids are doing, going into schools and doing. To our to even younger kids, and supposedly that's not even that's bad. That's really bad to me, because that's what the school system is teaching without a value system, because they're forcing their value systems on people that say no to it anymore. It does. They see it. Young people see it. They don't. It's not working. Like you thought, you know, Christianity was not working. I have worked for the Catholic Church. I know. What has happened there? And I'm sitting there going like, this is ridiculous. This is not who I was. This is not who I was brought up to be, and it's got to change. I didn't see the inside of a church until I was six, so I'll tell you that much.
I have so much religious trauma because of religion, and so I just remember always like questioning my dad, and like me and my dad have a close relationship now, but we had a lot of tension because I questioned him, and he's not very open-minded. He was very one-track minded, you know. He has a very different perspective than I, and I would always bring up things in the Bible that didn't make sense to me, and women are not respected in there, so I definitely were like, I don't think this is for me, Dad. But our relationship is much better now because I feel that we can have more complex conversations about how much being, I guess, what the word was, like so religiously strict actually impacted me and my sisters because it traumatized us. And it ultimately didn't allow us to have like really honest conversations with him because we always felt like he would judge us. So I definitely think like when you brought up the, you know, children and what's going on in our schools, I think that is definitely like a topic that needs to be highlighted more because like what is going on with our teenagers? What is going on with like our youth? What are they going through and why aren't they being listened to?
A lot of it to me has to do with these politicians buying into their Wild Wild West stories.
Wild Wild West stories, what do you mean by that?
Wild Wild West, it's like when you hear what happened in Canada with the residential schools, and you hear what happened up in the northern states with the boarding schools. This area here is always left out, and so it's always the last one, because a lot of the mentality now is, oh, I'm a politician now, I'm the U.S. senator to Texas, I made it, so my people should be proud of me. Well, I'm not going to be proud of you until you do something for your people where you come from. And I'm talking about the grassroots. I'm not talking about the rich ranchers who put, and the oil companies put money into your pocket to do these things, you know? And that's what's happening now. We have a bunch of rich people running for politics where that shouldn't be even there, shouldn't even be there. Just imagine if all of us in throughout the Southwest got together and started talking about what happened with the mission system, what they did with the missions in San Antonio, and how the missions affected who we are and how we apply ourselves. And I'm not an urban person. I grew up in a small town, and I'm a rural area person. And I'm ready to have a reservation. I don't mind having one in Texas. But the thing is, how are we going to operate within those realms of that Christian attitude of our own people? Everybody's afraid. They scared the hell out of us with hell. You know what I'm saying? And the thing is, we're living a hell when our kids are being murdered in school, when our kids are being, brainwashed, because sports are important. But the thing is, you're never going to get into any of the major sports. I mean, they're going across into the to other countries to get baseball players. Basketball, same way. And football is getting there where too, where you're not getting the people from here together. But again, it's a false ideal. It's a false promise, and it's all to make somebody else happy. So we're making those people comfortable. I was very much involved in the changing of the Washington team's name. Because I mean, since 98, I've been there at the Dallas Cowboy games, with the American Indian Movement, trying to make sure that, that they change the name. It took them that long, But they say, well, for 82 years, nobody ever said anything. For 82 years, you weren't listening. And you were listening to all the romanticized versions of Native people who have been brainwashed, who, under the Bureau of Indian Affairs, that's all they want to do is, you're not an Indian until the United States government sees you as one. Well, and I'm sorry to say this, but the United States government will pay you to be recognized. They pay you a certain amount to run your tribe. It's a lot easier to try and grow on your own from that. But when this happens, I mean, then they're telling us what to do, when to do it, how to do it. There was an the Wheeler Howard Act of 1934 was called the Indian Reorganization Act. What do they need to reorganize about who we are? Why can't they organize who they are, and treat us a little bit better as Native people in this country? Why are they putting up the blockade if all that's coming across there are these, and I use the word very loosely because I still think it's a catch-all term, indigenous people coming across. And that's what's scary here, because eventually all this country is going to go back to the people that were, and that's what they're afraid of. That's why they're insecure. That's what the fear factor is for them, is let's get rid of all the people, let's not let them in, come in here.
Yeah, and there's definitely like a lot of fear when people start reading the history and they see like, okay, like what does reparations look like? Like what does justice look like for? And it definitely scares a lot of people that have something to be scared of because there's a lot of guilt involved in people that have ancestors that did horrible acts of violence, because they're the ones that are very resistant to things like critical race theory taught in schools, which was mentioned earlier with Pablo. But it's like history is never like pretty. It's honest, and we need to like face, like it takes a lot courage to like look at this and be like, hey, we need to face this to find a solution. Mm-hmm. Because if not, I feel like it's going to keep happening again. We're like, oh, okay, this happened. And then everybody hurts because there was another shooting. Everybody hurts because there was someone arrested at a protest, you know, like relative. It's like, okay, but what can we do as a community now to find solutions? Because it's very obvious that a lot of politicians are not going to help us. And a lot of people in charge are not going to help us. And I think that's where the desperation is coming in for a lot of communities of color.
I agree with you because I think it's important that we ourselves immerse ourselves back into who we were before. The term Indio Pata Rajada was a term that was, and people tell me, well, I thought because y'all didn't wear any shoes, you had Pata Rajada. And I said, no. It says because they were cutting our feet, you know, to convert us. And that's what's exactly is happening. We're intimidated to the point that we allow ourselves not to believe in Christianity. Now, I'm not saying you can believe in Jesus Christ all you want to. That's fine. I'm okay with that. But don't throw Jesus Christ as a savior for me, because that's from another land. Mm-hmm. And not that I'm mean ugly again. Mm-hmm. I respect all Christians. But I was there. I've seen what they do and how they manipulate, you know, who we are, by slapping the hell out of you, hitting you in your hands, you know, threatening you with all kinds of stuff, you know, making you kneel down. And I sit there and I wonder, I said, this was a manner of us being forced to be who we are. We can't question it, because if you question it, you're going to go to hell. Mm-hmm. And you're going like, but they'd rather go to heaven where all these liars and that are talking about this Christianity are going to heaven. I don't want to be there anymore. Mm-hmm. That's been a hell to me. Mm-hmm. So why is your heaven more important than my heaven?
Exactly.
Why is my creation story less important than theirs? You know, how do you do that? The whole thing is in that doctrine of discovery. Until you understand that, I think we have a problem with our own people trying to get there. I have elders who, you know, have taken a while to come back to understand what I'm talking about. And the whole fanaticism,
right?
Of it, sea por Dios, you know, mm-hmm. like God, we did something wrong. So, you know, he sent those people to come and kill us and rape us and make us change everything. You know, it's like, I don't think that's the deal. I think that's part of them telling us, y'all need to believe this. This is the way it should be, because we are the dominant people here. And they're not. They're just plantation owners who have us under their, now indentured servant mentality. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a time that we were the first plantations in Texas. I want you to know that. Mm-hmm. In Mexico, you know, they were the first plantations. First slaves, and they came in here, started taking our kids out, taking them back to Mexico, teaching them Nahua and teaching them Spanish, and then they bring them back as interpreters, to interpret for them, so that we could convert over to them. Very few of us did that. That's why we were still fighting back until now.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you had mentioned. The word assimilation doesn't cover just the grotesque violence that was enacted upon indigenous people. Like, it seems like too short of a word. Like, it doesn't seem like as impactful, I guess. It really, now that you mention it, like, yeah, it doesn't seem like it covers like the actual really deep violence.
Have you been to South Dakota?
I have not.
Okay. South Dakota is a place called Thunder Mountain where they're building crazy horses, image, mm-hmm. and there's also Mount, but they built Mount Rushmore first. Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, we came here and we conquered, and I'm not conquered. I'm still here battling, you know, and I'm not afraid for anything that's going to happen to me. I'm concerned about what's happening to others, because we allow that intimidation to come to that point. And so you get a lot of sick people that are there. It's people that are intimidated, which is another mental illness. Why are we so intimidated by this? And why are we so allowing this to happen? And it's because we got a bunch of mental illnesses. I mean, all that came into Texas during the Alamo were a bunch of mental cases. David Crockett, Travis, they were all sick in the head because they were thinking about this manifest destiny thing. And it was all about them being able to control the people of color. And they all had slaves, And they were killing Indians all the way through. So, I mean, where does this stop? Where do we stop being uncomfortable and start being okay in our own skins and saying, it's okay to be who I am, not them. Let me find my people. Let me help my people build themselves back up again. Together we can do it. But, when we sit here and allow that intimidation to say, well, just don't be speaking bad about my church, or don't be speaking bad about this country. Well, for me, it was my forefathers didn't write that constitution. They didn't. And I still believe that there has to be a new constitutional Congress to rewrite it where there is equitability, where we have people that are native, women that we have of all colors to be there and sit and write a real constitution, not one based on a bunch of plantation owners who every time that we turn around, we want to amend it. That's like putting a Band-Aid on it. And then they waive the law, like the Native American Graves Protection Repatriation Act. It was put there to protect our ancestors. So what are they doing now? They're amending it. They're waiving it, They waive this, they waive that. And of course, the gun control law, don't touch it, Listen, I still believe that they should take away the guns from all politicians, should take the guns away from, all these manic depressant people that walk around getting drunk, and because they're the ones with a mental case, why can't they learn to live with the rest of us? There's a problem. They have a problem. They're antisocial. So that's a mental illness. Why are they selling guns? You know what I'm saying? I just see it from the other side, from outside the box. I just can't. I don't understand that. I mean, if you're going to use a rifle or a handgun, to protect yourself, I can understand that. But what are you protecting yourself from? If you're going to go out and get follow your tribal ways to get a deer and to give to everybody some of the meat because that's the way we've always done it and it's part of our tradition, then I can understand that. But the rest of it, you're still helping. I mean, I just don't understand where these guys don't. Insurance? Why are you insuring a guy that's mentally sick anyway? Should have never sold a gun in the first place. So,
It comes back to the money and the business and the profit from guns.
that's all it is.
So I guess we need a closing statement since we're running out of time. We ran out of time, but I guess what I would just want to leave off with saying is, in a short way, what guidance would you or what advice would you give to youth like that are seeking that, like actual, like returning to teachings that feel discouraged, like for youth that feel discouraged?
I would say that there was a guy, his name is Buddy Redbow, and he had an album and it was called Journey to the Spirit World, and he talks about going back to the sweat lodge, going back to the pipe, and going to those places without expecting anything else than to go from them. And that's what his whole perspective was. And there, then he had this song about the Black Hills Dreamers. I know, I love the album. That's why I'm talking about it. My writings have been more on the point. My son's songs are more to the point about, get involved, take some action, and just be who you are, and let it all come to be where you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Be, you know, choose yourself or self-appoint yourself to any position. Just go do the work, and the teachings are there. You know, it's just a matter of understanding why we do what we do, and but when you just feel like you need to, you know, instead of you need to lead,
mm-hmm.
go back into the lodge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I hate the word ceremony. Go to a Lifeway. I mean, mm-hmm. We're having our harvest dance coming up. You're welcome to come, anybody, and be a part of it, you know.
Okay.
And so we it's a 4-day dance, and you're welcome to be there. And it's not something hard. It's not something easy because it's hotter than heck.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're being invited, just don't take advantage. You know,
exactly, like go with pure intentions, right, yeah. And since you said it's Lifeway, and do the work, I like that. Do the work. Okay.